Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all back here in church Sunday morning. Beautiful sunny day today. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope everybody is replenished. Had a fun time. We just got back from camping yesterday. Had a good time. Had some rainstorms. I tried out a new tent and I didn't blow away. So shout out to Coleman. Made a quality tent. No leaks. So now we had a good weekend. Thankfully all the rain came overnight, so it didn't really interrupt our camping trip. But it was hot. That is for sure. But thankful for trees providing shade and giving us a little bit of reprieve. My dogs are thankful for rivers and lakes because they can go in and cool off and then pull their dad around and get me soaking wet as well. So, but we had a great weekend. But it is good to be back in church this morning. I am thankful for church, and I am looking forward to seeing God move this morning. Before we get started, I am going to ask, let's see here, Brother Ralph, if you'd open us up with a word of prayer, please.
Father, thank you today for our time together. Thank you for each one who is able to come today. Pray that each one of us would receive a blessing from you, encouragement and strengthening that we all need, but also instruction. Pray for those who could not be here today, that you would bring comfort and strength in each one, and blessing for you. Help each one of those to know that we're thinking about them and care about them, and would desire to see them here as soon as possible. We pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts today through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand with me. Stand and turn to page 812, Victory in Jesus. a cappella here this morning. Page 663, Make Me a Blessing.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where hardness is ripe, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing.
Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We will be reading verses 10 through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll give you a minute just to get there. We will be reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 this morning. All right. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to sustain in the evil day, and having done all, sustain. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all persons. morning. I invite you to stand with me. Turn to page number 69. Oh, how I love Jesus. Page number 69.
You love, it's another thing to show that you love. We can, I've said this before in numerous sermons here lately, talk is cheap. We can talk all day long about God and about Jesus and about love and the Bible, but then do our actions back up with what we're saying about those things? Not only does our actions back those up, but does our attitudes back up what we preach and what we say? And if our attitudes and our actions don't back up what we say, not only will it hinder it, it'll cause a problem with it to others. People will look and say, well, you're just a hypocrite. You say one thing, but then you do another. We're going to kind of see that theme here this morning. But verse number 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I read these verses this morning to start out to see that Jesus Christ was willing to become poor for our sakes, and that through his poverty, we were able to be made rich. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the words this morning, Lord. I pray you just give wisdom, guidance, and direction. It's all said and done. Lord, clear my mind and my thoughts, Lord, and help me to say what you'd have me to say. Lord, help our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our minds to receive your words this morning. Or may we just not be hearers of the word, but doers as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read this, that Jesus came down, became poor, suffered poverty, that we might be rich. And we looked at a root last week, and I have this listed up here. And all three of them tend to intertwine with each other or connected with each other. The rich soil, the fertile meadows and pasture, and the refreshing streams. All these things coupled together are what is needed to help a plant or a tree bear fruit that God desires for it to bear. And we kind of left off last week looking at the root and how if you have a root, it goes down. And we looked in Isaiah 31 that the root goes down, that fruit may bear up at the top. And here Jesus Christ came down. He suffered poverty. He became poor for us that we might be rich. Rich in what? I think rich in spiritual blessings. Rich in spiritual things. Not like a charismatic or those along the lines of being rich physically, but being rich spiritually. That's what's needed. I don't need riches that I could put my hands on. What I desire from God is the riches of a spiritual life. Spiritual riches. God, help me to have better joy or more joy. Or may I have an abundance of joy. God, help me to be more temperate in my life. God, help me to show more moderation. Moderation. Help me to show more love because faith works by love. And if I have more love and I'm able to show more love, my faith will increase with what God's promised me. And I'll trust Him more and I'll hopefully be able to go closer to Him through all those things. Now take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Rich soil, the root going down in the rich soil so that it can bear precious fruit. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. And again, we've memorized these verses, but I'd like to look through them again here. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 11. The same principle of going down in order to bear up. Philippians 2, 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. This is what, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. That's a cross-reference right back to what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Those there in Macedonia, they didn't look on their own things, but they looked on the things of others. Then it goes on to say this in verse 5. Let this mind be in you. What mind? What we just read in verses 1 through 4. The mind of Christ. You see, Christ did nothing through strife or vain glory. Christ, in lowliness of mind, esteemed others better than himself. Did he not? Did not Jesus Christ put others before himself? Did not Jesus go about doing good? And he even made a comment that he had nowhere to lay his head. The birds have nests to lay their heads in at night. The foxes have holes and dens to go into, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus Christ was the ultimate example for us. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. This mind that was in Christ Jesus, who loved, who was of one mind with the Father, who showed bowels and mercies, who showed comfort of love. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see that there in verse number 8? Are you willing to humble yourself this morning? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Are you willing this morning to allow God, with you also involved in it, to humble yourself to the obedience of the death of the cross? I take up my cross daily. Do you take up your cross daily and say, Lord, I'm going to die to myself so that today you can live through my life because, Lord, it's not my life anymore. Lord, it's your life, and I desire for you, God, to work through me today. Not me anymore, Lord. you. Help me to take up my cross daily. Help me to humble myself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Death to self. Verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For what purpose? To the glory of God the Father. You see how you give glory to God the Father? By allowing Jesus Christ to work through your life. There's no other way to give glory unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. Cannot be done. Kind of like we were talking about this morning. You can't get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Mary is not the intercessor. Mary is not the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And anybody that prays to Mary or tries to go through Mary is without hope. There is no hope through Mary. The only hope is through Jesus Christ. You pray for me. I'll take your Bible real quick here, and I'm going to do a little rabbit trail for 1 second. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. We're memorizing these verses, but I want you to look at what Paul asked for in Ephesians chapter 6. All right, he just gets done telling them as he's closing up this letter. We just repeated it and trying to memorize it about wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual powers. But look what he says at the very end in verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The first thing here on my little rabbit trail, you can pray all day long, but you better, if you want something to get done, it better be done being prayed in the Spirit. We can pray empty prayers. We can pray prayers that go no higher than the ceiling because it's us praying and we're not praying in the Spirit. So Paul says that we pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Like verse number 19 though. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see what Paul asked for prayer for? He asked for prayer among the brethren that God would grant him utterance, that he may make known boldly with his mouth, what? The mystery of the gospel. Paul asked them to pray for him, that God would give him boldness to be able to utter the mysteries of the gospel. Why? Because he says in verse number 20, for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants us to keep our mouth shut. There's times where God wants us to say something to somebody or witness to somebody or give somebody a tract or talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and minister unto them the mystery of the gospel, yet we're afraid. We're scared. We're afraid of what they might think of us, and that's where we run into a problem. We're worried about what they think of us. It doesn't matter what they think of us. What is God telling us to do? You see where it comes back to? It comes back to pride. I'm thinking about me. I'm worried about what they're going to say about me, thus I won't do what God wants me to do because I'm concerned about my reputation. But what do we read in Philippians? He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself a form of a servant and was obedient to the Father's will. Jesus Christ did not care what others thought of him. He didn't care what man thought of him. He came here to do the will of the Father, and what man said of him, man said of him. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to do the will of the Father. And he spoke boldly the things the Father wanted him to speak. And I bring this all around because the other day, for those that pray on Thursday nights and Friday nights, and those that pray on Tuesday nights for Brother Jim and his wife, Miss Donna, back there, I'll tell you one thing, as sure as I'm standing here, and I haven't been doing this my whole Christian life, going out and trying the public ministry. I haven't done that. I haven't done a lot of it. But one thing I've learned more and more by doing it, the more and more God encourages me and helps me in my own walk with him, though I may never see any type of results. I'm not going out to hold up a scripture sign so that I see results. I'm going out because I believe God wants me to go out and do it. So that they're without excuse. And you know what? I went out there Thursday, and I appreciate those that do remember and that those that do pray, because if you prayed Thursday night for us, God answered your prayers. Because I sat there for about a half an hour before I started saying something. You know why? Because I was trying to overcome my fear and what people would think of me. I didn't want people thinking of me or looking at me like, well, there's a fool standing on a street corner. Look at that crazy man with a leather girdle and he eats locusts and wild honey. If I said that right. That's what they thought of John the Baptist. They looked at John the Baptist, he's a crazy man in the wilderness. And they thought Jesus Christ was also crazy. He eats with publicans and sinners. He's a wine bibber. They thought crazy of Jesus and they thought crazy of John the Baptist. And so for a half an hour there Thursday, I'm holding up. I ain't got no problem holding up a sign no more. I'm holding up my sign and Lord's going, go ahead and say something. Go ahead. I can't, Lord, I can't say nothing. Not and then these verses come to my mind in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul said, pray for me that I may be given utterance to speak boldly the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was standing there and one man at the bus stop, he's looking and eventually he come on over. And got a chance to talk to him. Armando, please pray for him. Please pray for Armando. And there was others that we got to talk to on Thursday night as well. And God, I believe God did something for me Thursday that I needed. Maybe not what the community needed, but I needed to die to Chris Welton. I needed to be, you know what, brethren, we're not going to grow. We're never going to grow. We're never going to grow in a physical sense, in an emotional sense, and even in a spiritual sense if we're not put in uncomfortable situations. I say this a lot here, but how do you get a good soldier? You got to put him in uncomfortable situations. You're never going to get a soldier by just taking a young man off the street and saying, here's a gun, here you go, let's go. No, that young man and I, they have to be put through boot camp first, and then after boot camp, they got to be put through specialized training, whatever. They got to be put through some uncomfortable situations in order for them to become the soldier that the U.S. Army or government desires for them to be. And thus it is with a Christian. A Christian will never grow until they put themselves in uncomfortable situations that they don't want to be in order for the power of God to work through it. I become weak so that I become strong by Jesus Christ. And if you're never willing to become weak, you're never going to be strong in the Lord. That's the truth, brethren. That's the truth. You don't think David was put in an uncomfortable situation in a sense when he heard about the giant at first? But you know how David was able to fight that giant? He was put in an uncomfortable situation with those sheep when that bear and that lion came in. And that helped prepare him to go then face a giant. But see, if we just sit at home and we don't ever allow God to put us in uncomfortable situations, we'll never be where God wants us to be. Because it'll always be about you and what you think about you and what people might think about you. But what we have to get to the point as Christians to realize it's not about us. It's not about what we think about us. That's all has its roots back into pride. And the devil is the father of pride. Well, I'm just scared what they might say to me. What do you think they said to John the Baptist? What do you think they said to Jesus Christ? They picked up stones to stone him. They tried to push him off of a cliff because they didn't like the words he was speaking. Brethren, I pray that you pray for me that God would give boldness to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I was saying out there Thursday night? I was just trying to, as they back up on the traffic there, I just walk along the traffic saying there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mary's not a mediator. I go back and start again. Go back, start again. Why? Maybe one person would listen and hear that there's only one mediator. And if they're Catholic, maybe some thought get planted in there, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and realize that Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Why? Because I believe God wants me to do it. And then number two, there's souls at stake. You see, you don't put one before the other. The one that's number one is the will of God. Now, I know, brethren, tonight, God doesn't have everybody doing the same thing. I realize that, but I believe God has us all to do something. So first and foremost is the will of God. Some people put souls before the will of God. No. You put the will of God before souls. It's always about the will of God. Because that's the principles established there when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" You see, Jesus wasn't first and foremost concerned about the souls of men. Jesus Christ, first and foremost, was concerned about doing the Father's will. Because if he was concerned about the souls, he wouldn't look at him and say, "Will you also go away?" No, he wanted to do the Father's will. And if nobody follows him, he still needs to be faithful to the Father's will. See, it's not about results. Well, you're not getting no results. It's not about the results. It's a matter, am I doing what God wants me to do? And the only way you can figure that out is in your prayer life and in your Bible reading and you're meditating upon the things of God, asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do? Father, am I doing what you want me to do? And Lord, if not, God, help me to see what God you want me to do in my Christian life. Lord, put me in some uncomfortable situations that I might grow in your grace and knowledge. You know one of the reasons why I like running? I like to run. I know a lot of people despise running. But one of the reasons I like to run is because I like to put myself in uncomfortable situations. I love Brother Jim DeLucia. That man, he's not here this morning, but that man is a mule. He is a mountain goat. He's blown my mind away a couple times. 5-mile treks through the mountains, and I'm thinking this man never stops. He goes and goes and goes. But one thing I love about Brother Jim DeLucia is he's made comments before to me. We'll be driving up there through Jim Thorpe and Lehighton near Palmerton, somewhere there. And we'll be driving along. Some of you know him because you've ridden bikes with him. I never had that opportunity. We'll be riding along and he'll look at a mountainside. He'll be like, I want to go up that thing. I just listened to him. He's like, I want to go up that thing. I'm thinking, do you not realize? I'm saying this in my head. Do you not realize how old you are, sir? But I love his tenacity. I love his, like, I'm going to do it. I don't care what age I am. I want to go up that mountain. Glory to God. And we need more Christians today to say, look at that mountain. Say, God, if you'll allow me, like Caleb, give me that mountain. I'll take it, God, if you'll allow me to do it. But you don't realize how steep it is. You don't realize how rocky it is. You don't realize how dangerous it is. You don't realize that the snakes that might be in some areas where you got to climb up. You don't realize that there might be bears up there. You don't realize what you might face. Oh, yeah, but I want it. God, help me to tackle it. And that's why I like to run, because I like to put myself in uncomfortable situations to where I put myself to where I say, Chris, you got to keep going. And I want to put myself in physical situations like that so that hopefully it'll help me in spiritual situations when things get uncomfortable and dark. I don't quit, but I keep going on. And try to build up that mentality both physically and spiritually. But it takes putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Fruit production. Now, we look at the root and it goes down in order to build up fruit. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 16. John 15, 16. Fertile meadows and pastures, fruit production and green grass in order to feed others and yourself. Look at John chapter 15 and look at verse number 16. John 15, verse number 16. Jesus says here, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus tells his disciples here that they didn't choose him, but he chose them, and he ordained them. And what did he ordain his disciples to do? That they should go and bring forth fruit. And not just bring forth fruit, that's a good thing, but that they continue to bring forth fruit. It does good to have joy at one point in your life, but God wants our joy to be an abiding joy, not just a one-time event. God doesn't want our love to be just a one-time event, but an abiding love that is the undercurrent in our lives. God just doesn't want us to show temperance in one situation. God wants us to show temperance in all situations. An abiding fruit. Don't worry, it didn't hurt. And it'll be fine. All right. Look at John chapter 4. I'm sorry. Stay back in chapter 15. I didn't understand my notes right there. Look at verse 4. John 15, verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How is the Father glorified, as the Lord tells the disciples? How is he glorified? That ye bear much fruit. That ye bear his glory. That you bear the image of Jesus Christ. That you bear a proper representation of the ambassador that you are. If you're saved this morning, you are now an ambassador. You now represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. You are an ambassador. How are you representing him today? Now, the Bible says, look over here, Proverbs 11. We're going to go from growth and stability, which you find from the root system as well, into fertile meadows and pastures that provide the fruit production and the grass to eat for animals and whatnot. But it takes place because of the root. They're intertwined with each other. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse number 30. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. All right, Proverbs 11, verse 30 says this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. All right? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If you're saved, you are now made the righteousness in Jesus Christ. So if you're saved this morning, you now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thus, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You ought then to be able to produce fruit that will give life or the taste of life to those that may be abiding in death. Because then it goes on to say, and he that winneth souls is wise. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now that word winneth or win means this. So he that winneth souls is a wise individual. Win. This is one of the definitions for win or winneth. To gain by persuasion or influence. To obtain. To allure to kindness or compliance. It said that thy virtue won me. Or win your enemies by kindness. Now, I believe what these verses are saying here in Proverbs 11 verse 30, making a New Testament application of them, is that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How are they persuaded, or how are they influenced by our life? And what do they taste when they taste the tree of life in our own personal life? And that goes back over to Galatians, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. When a Christian bears good fruit by the Spirit of God, this world will taste it, and they'll be able to realize, or hopefully be given an opportunity to see who the tree of life is. And the tree of life is Jesus Christ, in a sense, to where Jesus Christ provides eternal life. And so when we get an opportunity to win a soul or to gain persuasion or influence someone, I believe they're influenced by what they taste in our life, by what our life shows about who Jesus Christ is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do you taste and see that the Lord is good? By individuals' lives who represent him. Now, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Well, how can one produce good fruit? How can one have fertile meadows and pastures in their life for others to take part in or taste to see that God's good? Look at Isaiah chapter 27, verse 6. Isaiah 27, verse 6. Isaiah 27, verse number 6. This is in reference to the children of Israel after the tribulation, when the Lord has the millennial reign and is there as king there in Jerusalem. And it says in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 6, "And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root." Look at this principle. He'll cause Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. What he's saying is here is when he brings Israel back into their land after the tribulation, the Bible says here that Jacob will take root, and then Israel as a whole will blossom and bud, and then they'll be able to fill the face of the whole world with their fruit. They'll have an influence over the whole world. They'll take root in Jacob, they'll blossom and bud, and then that fruit will influence the whole world. Thus it should be with the Christian. Take root in Jesus Christ, blossom and bud, and then with the fruit, bear witness to the whole world. Now, the root has place with the fruit. I'm going to give you a definition here with the... I'll write it here real quick. The word root means this. I'm sure everybody knows what a root is. But the root is that part of the plant which enters and fixes itself in the earth and serves to support the plant in an erect position. While by means of its fibrils, it imbibes nutrient for the stem, branches, and fruit. So the root goes down and it spreads itself out in order that it can not only bring nutrients and supplements or whatever up into the stem and the branches and the fruit, but also helps to bring water into the plant as well. So the root influences and helps the stem, the branches, and the fruit. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 3. In order to have fertile meadows and good pastures, you got to have a good root system. You're never going to get the root and the fruit that you need, or you never get the fruit you need or the grasses to feed on unless the root system is good on that plant. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse number 3. Proverbs 12 verse 3. "A man shall not be established by wickedness." But look what it says. "But the root of the righteous shall not be moved." So a solid root base for the righteous will allow that righteous individual or that plant to not be moved. Flip over and look at chapter 12, verse 12. Same Proverbs 12:12. Same thing talking about a root here again. "The wicked desireth the net of evil men." But look what this says next. "But the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." It helps it to stay stable, like we read here in the first part, with growth and stability. But then the root system also helps itself to bear and yield fruit. So the root system affects both stability and growth. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7. Bringing it over into the spiritual side. Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 7, you say, "Well, preacher, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. The root of the righteous yieldeth much fruit." What are we rooted in? Look at Colossians 2, verse number 7. Look how the two of them go together. Colossians 2, verse 7, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and that we walk in Him. And it says in verse 7, "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." That cross references and goes over to chapter 1 of Colossians and verse number 23. "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." You see, it does no good to just hear. It does good to be established, settled, grounded, rooted, and built up in Jesus Christ. Now, as we close up here this morning, look over at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. "Rooted and built up in Him." All right, Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17. Ephesians 3, look what Ephesians 3 verse 16 says. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Remember what it said there, talking about how Jesus Christ became poor that we might be made rich? Look what the Bible says here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How are you filled with all the fullness of God? How are you strength? How are you able to comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ? By being rooted and grounded in love by Jesus Christ. Now, I'll close with Mark chapter 4 this morning. Mark 4. Bearing much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Having fertile meadows and pastures. Fruit production. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 16. Very familiar portion of scripture dealing with the sower. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says here, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended." Why are they offended? They have no root system. They have no stability. They're not grounded in the Word. They're not grounded in Jesus Christ. Thus, when afflictions and persecutions arise for the Word's sake, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, immediately they are offended. And this is verse 18. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, fertile ground, rich soil. These are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and then bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm going to ask you this morning as we close up, since you've been saved, have you seen fruit production in your life? Have you seen any type of fruit production in your life, the working of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, since you've been saved? Jesus said that the seed that's sown on good ground, it hears the word. That's good. It also receives it. Well, so did the other ones up above. They heard it and they received it. But then the good seed on good ground brings forth good fruit. Can you see evidence of fruit production in your life? By the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not talking about character. I'm talking about you knowing that God has worked in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to produce fruit that only He can produce. You see, there's a lot of people today that are good, moral people that got character, but that only goes so far. What kind of fruit is produced when you're offended? When you're offended, when your buttons are pushed, has there been a time where good fruit has come forth in times where you are offended? Or is it every time you're offended, the same attitude always comes out? I have to be suspect then. But have you grown in the grace and knowledge of God to where at one point you used to react this way quickly, but over time, because you've been spending time in rich soil and you've been trying to produce fruitful meadows and pastures and trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that over time now, when those same buttons that used to get pushed early on in your Christian life, now by the Holy Spirit working your life, you now have a different reaction than what you used to have because you're growing in Jesus Christ. Do you see that growth in your life? to where you could say, yeah, I started off here, but God's worked with me these years, and now, thank the Lord, I've kind of gotten a victory over that, where it was rough going at first, but God's brought me along, and I've spent time in His Word, I've meditated in it, and by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm now able to react this way when I'm offended. Do you see that growth? You see, you only get the essence of something when it's crushed. You want to smell, really smell a flower? You know how you get that oil out of the olive? How you get the wine or the grape juice out of the grape? It's got to be pressed. It's got to be crushed. And then that essence will come out of what it really is. And a lot of times our real essence will come out when we're pushed, we're crushed, or we're put in an uncomfortable position. Then the essence of what we are comes out. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of Christians, when they're putting out, they can play the Christian games. They can say the right things. They can put the smile on the face. They can dress the right way, blah, 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 have convictions, blah, 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 blah. But that doesn't mean nothing until that thing gets crushed. And then what's really in there will come out. What happens and what comes out when you're offended? Is it good fruit? Or is it fruit that's not very desirable? You see, you say, what does this have to do with giants? What does this have to do with giants? You see, there's spiritual giants that don't want us to enter into this land. This land of victory and a fruit production for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is what influences others. And not only does it just influence others, this is what gives glory and brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ and God our Father. Is a good crop of good fruit. That brings Him glory and honor. And if a giant can keep us from entering into these areas to where God desires for us to grow, and we're too scared to go in, we're too scared to be offended, we're too scared to be put in uncomfortable situations, we're too scared to be in positions where we're having to die to self in order for Christ to live through us, if we're just too scared to enter into that fertile land, we'll never bring God the glory that He desires. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us in these areas. Dear God, I pray you'd help me in these areas, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord, to always have a heart to want to grow closer to you, Lord. Lord, help me to be able to take the reproofs of instruction, dear God. Help me to be able to grow, Lord. Lord, help me to allow you to prune me where I need to be pruned, dear God. Lord, though it might hurt, Lord, help me to have the fortitude to go through by your strength. To give you the fruit you desire, Lord, for your glory and your honor. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break here. About 5 minutes. Any men that want to pray will be praying in my office. Amen. Take a little break.